I'll say good evening to everyone. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. That will be our main text. Also, if you want to turn to the book of Hosea in chapter number 10. And if you would mark that, but we're going to start off with the book of Mark, chapter 4, starting at verse number 1. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some fell on the wayside and by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to him, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those who are on the outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Hosea, chapter 10. Hosea, chapter 10, verse number 12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." It is time to seek the Lord. I want to talk a little bit about on the subject of the groundbreaking word, or the groundbreaking truth, or the groundbreaking gospel. The groundbreaking word. I was thinking about the message this morning and how the emphasis was on heaven and what heaven will be like. And, you know, he kind of took us and painted a picture of what heaven will be like. And what I wanted to do in order to bring all of these things together, I was like, well, he's going to heaven, but I'm going to bring it back down to earth. And the reality of what we need to do to get there. break up the fallow ground of your heart. Now, there are three things that Jesus talks about in this particular parable. He talks about those that are indifferent towards his word, those that have hardened their hearts towards his word, and those that have crowded hearts, or hearts filled with the cares of this world. And finally, he talks about those that have hearts that are good and noble and produce fruit from the word that is sown. So we're going to talk about these things. We're going to talk about, number one, the grounds for being indifferent. This is the seed by the wayside. What makes us indifferent towards God? Now, I'm not talking about those on the outside and those that have no understanding or no knowledge or have no desire to know God. I'm talking about those that are here tonight. See, this message is particularly and specifically for us. See, there are times in our lives when even when we know, even when we have obeyed the gospel, and even when we understand the truths of God's word, we can become indifferent. So what are the grounds for being indifferent towards God? Each of us have to ask ourselves that question. Bible says in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, in verse number 6, my people, they perish for lack of knowledge. So sometimes if we lack true knowledge of truth about who God is and who he is to us and who we are to him, we can easily become indifferent. And basically what God is saying is my people perish because they don't know me. They don't know who I am. And see, if we are inconsistent in our seeking, in our relationship with God, we can grow cold and indifferent towards him. It's very easy to do. Ask the Apostle Peter. He went from going to prison and even to death for the Lord to denying him three times. In that little time, he became indifferent towards God. And it doesn't take much. It takes one distraction to take us off that path. That is why it is the straight and narrow, and we always set our hearts towards it. The Bible, and Jesus said, listen, who puts his hand to the gospel plow and looks back, they are not fit. Not because you're not worthy, or not because he does not want you to seek him, but once you become distracted, you become less effective. So the grounds for being indifferent is a lack of knowledge. If you don't understand that God is the creator and he created you for a purpose, a specific purpose, if you don't understand that he is the only way to salvation, there is no name under heaven by which man will be saved. If you don't understand that he is the only way to life, he's the only way to joy, he's the only way to peace, he's the only way to all things pertaining to life and godliness, he is the only way to live. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, people perish for lack of knowledge. So if we don't ever want to become indifferent towards God, we need to give our all to knowing him. And not just knowing him, but knowing who we are in him. We are his children. The Bible says that he who believes, he has given the right, the authority to become children of God. Born of God, not of the flesh, but born of God. So we are made in his image, in his likeness, and we were called to reflect him on the earth. And if we're living anything less, then we can easily become indifferent. Self-centered. Another ground for being indifferent is being self-centered. Now, all of us by nature are self-centered and self-absorbed. That's just a part of who we are as living in a fallen world and being fallen victim to sin. A lot of us sometimes can be self-centered and we don't even realize it. See, we have problems and issues that hit us on a daily basis, and we understand we deal with the issues and the struggles of life, And in those struggles, it's easy to become self-centered. It's easy to say, oh, woe is me, and why is this happening to me, and why am I going through this? And when all it is just a matter of you being self-centered and self-absorbed. God says in Philippians chapter 2, he says, don't do anything out of vain ambition. Esteem others higher than yourself. See, in order to not get caught up in being self-centered, we have to look to meet the needs of another. There are plenty of opportunities to meet needs. There are plenty of opportunities to do something for someone. So we don't want to be self-centered in our approach, because again, being self-centered just leads to us becoming indifferent towards God. So the simple cure: pick up the phone, call someone and check on them, pray for them, study with them, read with them, go out and share the gospel with someone in your community, in your immediate area. Call someone you haven't heard from in a while. Do something that will get your mind off of your own issues. So we talk about lack of knowledge. Talk about being self-centered. We also talk about holding on to sin and the things of this world. James tells us very clearly that to be friends with the world is enmity against God. So if we're trying to fit in, something is wrong. If we're trying to fit in with the world, it will happen. If you have the mentality that you need to fit in, that you don't want to rock the boat, you don't want to change anything, guess what? The world is going to change you and make you indifferent towards God. So anything in this world that you hold fast to, it's not worth your soul. Let it go. There are things that we hold to, those things that we identify with, those things that we cling to. Though we know that God desires for us to give these things up, we hold fast to them. But understand that even if we hold fast to the things of this world, we let go of God's hand. And that is very detrimental to our soul. Holding on to sin and the things of this world can make you indifferent towards God. I don't care how faithful you are in attendance and doing all of the religious things. Listen, if you're holding on to sin in this world, you are easily indifferent towards God. Jonah in chapter 2, verse 8. Jonah understood this concept. He said, if we cling to worthless idols, we forfeit God's grace that's so readily available to us. So we want to get to know God and understand who He is in our lives and who He is in this world and what our purpose is in Him. We want to not get caught up in our own issues and problems, because we all have them. And I know, and I understand from experience, they can be very overwhelming. I understand that. But for me, I had to learn that, listen, the only way that I'm going to get out of this funk is to start reaching out to others. Because I don't want to be indifferent towards God. Because that's a dangerous place. And you certainly don't want to hold on to those things that would hinder you. The Bible says, strip off every weight, especially the sin that so easily holds us back. So now we talked about the grounds for being indifferent. Now we're going to talk about the grounds for hardening our hearts. And these are the seeds on stony ground. Unbelief. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. So in verse number 12 it says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Failure of the wilderness wanderers." Unbelief. Unbelief can easily harden your heart towards God. And that's why we have to be careful. And that's why it's important to always, and what he talks about, exhorting one another daily as we see the day approaching. Because when we're struggling, just as much as we're struggling, someone else is struggling as well. And that's why we come together, in order to encourage one another, in order to deal with those issues of doubt and unbelief that we have. That's why we show up and we get the Word of God to strengthen us in those areas in which we fall short. Because it doesn't take much. The Bible says your enemy, he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know what the lion does to the deer. He separates them from the pack. So unbelief is a grounds for hardening our hearts. Because once it sets in, if you don't deal with it right away, it will give you a hard heart. Pharaoh was an example of someone who had a hardened heart. He said, "Who is this Lord that I should obey him?" Listen, I don't care how faithful we've been, we can get to that place. I've seen it. I've seen people that were on fire and really desiring to know and leave the Lord. And you talk to them sometime later and they're like, "Who is this Lord? Why should I do what he says?" It happens. It's a sad thing and it's a sad state. And I would never want to see any of us in that condition. Pride. Pride in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Verse number 12, it says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." The Bible tells us not to think too highly of ourselves, more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Pride can puff us up to thinking that we don't have to answer to anyone, let alone God. But understand that we are accountable to not only to God, but to one another. See, pride would not allow us to be accountable because in our own eyes, we're right. We're okay. We do all the things that are necessary. We show up and we put smiles on our face and we're here and all of these things. But our heart is filled with all kinds of evil, self-centeredness, sin and the things of this world and carnality. all of these things come upon your heart just as quick as you could blink your eye. That's why the Bible is so adamant about how we live. We have to keep our focus. We have to prioritize. We have to come together. Otherwise, we'll lose. Now, we were talking about heaven this morning and how great it will be. But it's sad to say that if we don't live the right way, we'll never see it. We'll never know it. It will be just a fantasy. But we want to taste it. We are chasing the reality of heaven. Heaven is real to us. And that's why we have to live accordingly. So pride will harden our hearts toward God. Not loving the truth. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, you fall when you don't have a love for the truth. When you love other things. When the truth is not the primary focus or primary priority in your life and in your heart. If you don't seek it with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. If you don't hold fast to it for dear life, if you don't love the truth, you will fall for the lie. And your heart will become hardened toward God. Now, we're going to look at grounds for crowded hearts. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, that shall bring forth his fruit in due season. His leaf shall not wither. So a crowded heart is usually a lack of study or a lack of devotion or a lack of personal meditation. How often do we meditate on the Word? According to the Scriptures, we meditate all day long and all night long. According to the will of God, we keep our mind and our hearts in the Word of God. We spend ample time in the Word of God because it is our manual for life. How do we expect to live if we don't study the manual? A lack of study can give you a crowded heart. Because where the Word is not, something is going to replace it. The enemy always provides something to distract you and keep you, your mind off the Word of God. He's a master deceiver. He's a master of temptation. And if we don't study diligently and persistently, we will fall and our hearts will become crowded. Some of us are familiar with the story of the demon, how the demon was cast out of the man and he was all clean and ready to go, and then all of a sudden his heart was all cleaned out, but he never took the opportunity to fill it with the right things. Then all of a sudden 7 demons came and they inhabited his heart, and the state of that man was worse than the first time. And we are, none of us are exempt from any of these things. So we study, we keep the Word of God in front of us, and we practice and live accordingly. Just like when God told Joshua, he said, hold fast to this word, that being careful to obey everything in it. the same thing applies. So a lack of study will give us, allow our heart to be crowded. A lack of prayer, the same principle. If we're studying and meditating without a prayer life, then it's the same thing. It's the combination of prayer and study. The Bible instructs us to pray without ceasing. Jesus said all men everywhere ought to pray and not faint. Persistently praying and studying will keep our hearts from being crowded. Another ground for crowded heart is lack of fellowship. Hebrews 10 and 25 instructs us never to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some ought. So when we're slack on our coming together, that gives opportunity for our hearts to become crowded. So we want to be persistent in those things as well. So we want to be studious and students of the Scripture. We want to be people of prayer. And we want to come together as often as we can and encourage and lift up one another. Even outside of coming here, we should have contact. We should be able to contact one another. We have so many means and mediums of doing this thing. We have text messages, emails, and letters, all kinds of things. So it's really there's plenty of opportunity to do these things. We just have to make a decision, and we have to be persistent. Now, we talked about grounds for being indifferent and the grounds for hardening our hearts and the grounds for having crowded hearts. We'll talk about how, if we are lacking in these areas, how do we break up the fallow ground of our heart? How do we keep from being indifferent? How do we keep from having our hearts hardened? How do we keep from having crowded hearts? And it's just as simple as holding fast to the Word. See, this Word, I refer to it as groundbreaking. Because if you're in this Word long enough and you're consistent enough in prayer and you come together enough, it will break up some of the ground in your heart. A lot of us have, and speaking for myself, there's a lot of fallow ground in my heart. See, as I hold fast to the Word, it begins to break up. And it begins to become soft and hardened. And the Word of God can bear fruit. And I'm grateful that God has allowed me and given me the grace to do such things. So breaking up the fallow ground is just a matter of getting in the Word. Just a matter of making a decision that you're not going to be denied. Making a decision that you want to go to heaven. Making a decision that you want to love God and love your brethren. Making a decision that you want to share the gospel with all that are around you and within your community. Make a decision to obey God. It's just as simple as that. It is the ground breaking Word. Things that you've had for years. Things that you don't even realize that you have deep down in your heart. Those hurts, those bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever it is. It can only be broken by the Word. You're not going to be able to cover it up, because eventually it's going to surface. And it's going to continue to surface until you deal with it. And you deal with it through the Word of God. Determine in your heart, determine in your mind that you are going to be a pure and holy vessel before the Lord. That He might use you to do great exploits. that they might use you to reach others for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Breaking up the fallow ground. Because it says, and he gives us a promise. He said, listen, if we break up the fallow ground in our heart, then he will come and shower his righteousness upon us. It's then when we experience joy. It's then when we experience peace. It's then when we attain the blessings of God. It's then when we make our home in heaven. And only then. Break up the fallow ground of our hearts. Now, and of course, if you have never obeyed the gospel, the only thing that really applies is you need to obey. You need to do these things because if you want to see heaven, if you want to see God, if you don't want to end up in that place of eternal torment, separated from God forever, then you must obey the gospel. You must first of all hear the word of God. And having heard the word, you must respond in repentance and submission. You must hear and do according to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. He said, he who hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken it to a wise man. You must turn from your ways and go God's way. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. Says, let the evil man forsake his way, the wicked man his heart. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. You must confess Jesus before men, because if you do not, he cannot confess you before his Father in heaven. And you must be baptized and be brought into the body according to Romans chapter 6 and Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And you must commit yourself to being a faithful member of the Lord's church, the Lord's body, where he is the head. So if this is your desire, or if we see ourselves in these things and we've fallen short, it's okay to come and ask for prayer. It's okay to ask to be encouraged, because we all need it, and that's why we're here. We come here to lift and encourage one another. So understand that God wants to be with you, just like Dave was telling us this morning. He wants us. He wants to be with us. That's why he created us, for fellowship, to be with him and enjoy eternity with him. If this is your desire, I ask that you stand, come forth as we stand and as we sing.